What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 378, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, give us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just shared a link with you for a product I can't talk about.
Yeah, since we're getting into launch season. So there's
we are. Lots of cool stuff.
Launch season for like non-GPUs.
Right. Yeah. Peripherals, other items.
Yeah, that type of stuff.
Absolutely.
We have daily science videos in the house. Good to see you here. We have a lot of people. So one thing I did, which I was kind of reluctant to do, is that I bought, what do they call it? Twitter Premium? What is it
called? Oh, yeah.
Twitter Blue or whatever. Just for TweetDeck. Just for tweet.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only reason that I bought it. I don't really care about the check mark, but we've had a lot more interaction on Twitter since I've done it. So I guess it's a good thing.
Interesting. I saw a story that they were going to like start charging like for
everybody to
have access. And I'm like, well, I'm just not going to use it even unless now.
I don't think I would use the platform if that's the case. I do like I do feel that the interactions on any social network are the best on Twitter, but I don't think as like personally, I don't think it's something that I would pay for. Now for Think Computers, I mean, if it's like the same, like I think I'm like, it's like $8 a month. Like I would pay that just for Think Computers, but for like a personal account, I don't think I would, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for TweetDeck, for those who don't know, it's like, it allows you to organize, like have columns of all different followers. And it really helps me stay in touch with brands and react to like, you know, brands and then other creators as well, because
it's a nice way to like filter it out and sort things.
Yeah, it really is. So yeah, I mean, we've had it for like a week, but it's been good. So I definitely like it so far. I don't think, like I said, I haven't bought it for like my personal Twitter. I don't think I would. But yeah, pretty cool. In any case, but we have a lot to talk about this week. Some disappointing things. I was kind of excited about one product that we reviewed, and it just turned out to be a big disappointment. And then the more I dug into it, it's not more disappointment. It's just like, we'll go into it when we talk about it. We have so much to talk about this week. We do have a show notes page, guys. It is in the description of the video if you want to check it out. It has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And then as we talk through things, obviously I'm going to show you on the screen, but if you want to click through, you could go ahead and do that. And of course, everybody who's listening later, that link's going to be there for you guys to get more information if you want to see more information about anything that we're going to be talking about this week. Now, first, we'll jump into a NVMe SSD review before we get to the product that was incredibly disappointing. This one's from Lexar. This is their NM710. And the way they do their naming is the lower the name, the lower it is in the product stack. So we reviewed their NM800, I believe, and that's a higher Gen 4 drive. This is sort of like your entry level, very, I would say like for your main drive, whether it's your game drive or your OS drive, you buy that super high-end drive, right? That's sure. The be the best one you can get. And then you kind of fill the rest of your NVMe drives with a drive like this. Still Gen 4, still going to be, you know, a lot faster than a SATA SSD, but it's not those super crazy high speeds. But still, I mean, still respectable speeds, I would say. So this drive is rated for 5,000 megabytes a second read and 45 megabytes a second write. That's on the 1 terabyte version. And it, like I said, it's your standard NVMe SSD. It does not come with a heatsink or anything like that. So you will need to provide your own heatsink. Pretty basic drive, as you can see here. Not much different about it. Now, this one was pretty interesting because the actual controller is made by Maxio Technology. And I know there are a couple other drives that use this controller, but this is the first time that I've, you know, saw a drive with this specific controller. And then another thing about this drive, it is completely cacheless as far as it doesn't have a dedicated DRAM cache chip. I can't talk this week. So you don't have that either. And, you know, what companies will do if they don't have that is use a host memory buffer, which this drive does use. So you're not going to write like 3% of the drive, and then you see a massive drop in performance, which when NVMe SSDs first started coming out, that's like that's what we would see. It'd be like 7%. Then you'd see the like graph just go, whoosh. But this one, yeah, this one's about 33%, which in most normal circumstances, you're not going to do a constant write of 33% of your drive. You know, it will have time to flush that cache and do all that. So you really won't have to worry about it. And again, if you're doing heavy writes like that, this isn't a drive that you'd be looking at anyways. Going over performance, when it comes to Gen 4 drives, this sits very much in the middle in all of our tests. You can see here, again, it goes right up to the performance that it's expected to be. So, you know, it's not bad by any means. But if you look at like sort of like I call them the second generation of Gen 4, they're all at like, you know, 6.6 gigabytes a second, where this drive on the writes or the reads is, you know, around 5,000. So that's something to consider, you know, but I think this is a nice upgrade if you are upgrading your system and you are on SATA-based SSDs, great upgrade. Even moving from Gen 3 up to Gen 4, this is a great upgrade there as well in most circumstances. So you have everything there. Like I said, just a good drive. Now, the only issue I had with this drive, and I'll check it again because I did check, this review came out on Monday, and I mean, the prices were there. This drive currently is selling for 70. Okay. Went down in price. It was literally $71 the other day.
So they must have dropped the price and they're running a discount.
Yeah, it's really, well, I did email them and say that's the reason I gave it a 7 out of 10. So now I can give this like a 9 out of 10. So we initially gave this a 7 out of 10. Now let me check the NM800. That this should be okay. So this is 64. So I have screenshots of these, which I sent.
yeah, I wonder if initially they have their pricing off.
If I bring up my email real quick, because I have it in, I believe I have it.
Because yeah, $71, it doesn't make sense. And I think a 7 would have been.
Yeah, you know, so let me save this image.
A fair score for it.
Not put people's emails on the screen here. So, because that's the only reason I gave it a lower score.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Okay, so here is the screenshot of the 1 terabyte for $71.30. Yep. Right? And that's from Monday. And now it's been changed. I don't think that has a lot to do with me changing it, like emailing them. I mean, maybe it does, but
maybe they now that it's, they had a mistake.
Yeah, maybe. Well, they said there was from a third party seller, which this one
it says
sold by Amazon.com. So what did the other one say? Sold. See, this one's a different company. You know, that's what they had said. But I was like, well, I mean, that's the price that I'm seeing.
That's the
but
price that comes up when you're looking for it. That's
so for $37.99, this is a great price. 1 terabyte, $37.99. Really good price. Because in my final thoughts, I said that, you know, their NM800 Pro, which is very fast, 7,500 megabytes a second, is only $64.95. And you're trying to sell this new one for $71. Or even, she even told me that their MSRP should be $64.99. And that's still the same price, which. You can't have one that's, you know, two right. gigabytes.
Well, nobody would buy the other one.
Yeah. So this price is definitely more justified now that I'm seeing it. So that changes what I was just about to say. So that's very good. So I will update this review now that that's known. I didn't even know that. That's pretty crazy.
Glad you checked.
Yes. Yeah. So that's really good to see that it's $37.99. I think at that price, again, you buy something like this drive, the NM800 Pro, or any of the other high end drives that do like over 7,000 or 7 gigabytes a second. That's your main OS and maybe game drive. And then you know most of these new motherboards have at least 4 available slots. Those other 3 slots you load with 3 of these, which would be $120 for 3 terabytes, which is,
yeah, that's pretty
good. Really good price there. So good to see the price drop on this. Check out the review. I think that, this is good. Now I'm really happy about this because I was about to say I had 2 products this week that I wasn't necessarily all that, I wouldn't say happy, but like all that excited about to tell you guys about because the price on this was initially bad, but now it's.
Well, and I think I think we've said this before, but when Lexar first started coming out with these types of parts, they were kind of off on the pricing and maybe some of their performance, yeah. And it was kind of like, they need to do something better. And yeah, seeing this is awesome.
So
I think they made great strides in the last, you know, couple of years that we've been looking at their things. Some really nice products. That 810 is awesome. This one seems to be pretty sweet as well. So
I have their new one too.
Is it a 900 fast. Series?
You probably can't tell me. It is a 9. I think it's announced. If it's not, but it's a 9 something. So
okay,
it's definitely fast. So check out that review. Like I said, like Ryan said, we've been pretty impressed with Lexar products. It's good to see that pricing match. And I don't know how long that deal or however long that's going on for, but that is a great price. And maybe we swayed them or like they had a mistake or something. So it's good that I actually set that to them. Now the next company did not get back to me when I emailed them about the issues that I had with this, although I did only email them on Tuesday, which is yesterday, or maybe I emailed them Monday. I emailed them on Tuesday when the review came out, because I put the review out, obviously. So the Li and Li O11 Dynamic is like probably at least the past 3 years, probably like one of the most popular cases. And we've seen pretty much everybody copy that same design, right? So, you know, it's especially the white versions too. You have that glass fronts and the, you know, glass side. And it's just like, that's kind of the look, right? That a lot of companies are going for. And when it comes to like mini ITX or smaller systems, we've seen a lot of these and I call them dupes. They're like, they're made to look like that. They're cheaper. And I even agreed to do this review because I was like, okay, let me see what this case can actually do. Because if there is a lesser known company that actually has a good product, I want to tell people about it. And we've seen that over the years where these companies we might not have heard of have done really well, or have had really good products that we want you guys to know about because they can be less expensive and you might want to give them a shot. So that was my mindset going into this, was let me see what this case is all about. So this is the Red Dragon MC211. And the thing that's really cool about this, and again, it's small. It's smaller than my O11 Dynamic Mini, although the O11 Dynamic Mini fits a up to extended ATX motherboard. So this only does mini ITX and micro ATX, but it's a good-looking case overall. It has that, again, it's all white. You know, it has those panels on the side, toolless design. This front panel pops off extremely easily. Has that same side flow design here. You know, a lot of good things. It was not like flimsy or like it wasn't cheaply made in most regards. Like the case felt good. So going into this entire thing, like as I was taking these photos, I'm like, oh, this is like a decent case. Like, you know, you have USB 3.0 up here. Even though there's no Type-C, that's fine. You know, all the panels were mesh, like this mesh up here. Now, there were no filters, but it was like, you know, you have mesh here. The opposite side panel is all mesh to give you airflow through the side here and everything, right? I'm like, okay, this isn't going to be that bad. I was a little bit disappointed that, like, there's no mount.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting.
For fans on the bottom, I know this is like the main, they want like the main cooling to be these side, this side, you know, mounts here, but there's this strip here at the bottom that's decently thick. Like you could fit 25 millimeter fans down here. And if they, you know, put at least the mounting points for them, there's no fans included with this case. So maybe just put the mounting holes down here in case somebody wants to do that and then route it back through the case. Like, you know what I mean? Yep. It wouldn't have been hard to do that, and that's not there. But again, I was like, this is a pretty decent case. And then I got into installation, and it wasn't great. The installation in this case, one, I've built computers for 20 years now. Typically, and I'm sure you're the same way, Ryan, like when we get a case, like we don't really read the instructions, you know?
Yeah. There's usually no need unless there's something like totally game changing or brand new that you just,
or like you're just not sure of how something mounts. You try to mount and it doesn't fit, whatever. Right.
Right.
So, and again, that's for us. But I mean, I think a lot of people who may be building their first PC, this could be a case they were considering just because of the way it looks and its price. So these are the only two diagrams that are in the instructions. I took pictures of them to see. So there's this diagram that shows like where things go, like power supply goes here, graphics card goes there, the motherboard, the screws that go to the motherboard, that's basically it. And then for the hard drive diagram, it shows D and E, but it doesn't really show you where the drives go. I guess for the SSDs, you could figure it out. But for the 3.5-inch drive, like, you really don't know that it actually goes on the opposite side of this, which I'll show you. Like, the instructions are basically useless, which isn't great. But yeah, I went ahead and did my installation. I did mini ITX, goes in no problem. And here's that bracket. Here's the storage bracket, right? So in almost every case that I've ever reviewed that has a storage bracket that's on, this storage bracket is on the backside of the motherboard.
Sure.
Always your connections are facing down. So yes. I have my connections for my drive facing down. That was not correct. Your connections have to be facing up, and I'll show you why. But your SSDs go on this side, right? But based on this,
you can't tell, right?
You can't. Well, one, you can't tell. And you also can't tell that if you were going to install a 3.5-inch drive, which fits on this, it goes on the opposite side. It doesn't go on this side. You wouldn't know that. And again, when you're routing cables and installing things, it could be a pain to have to take drives off and then redo it. So that's not known, which again, not the biggest deal. Then we come to our power supply. Now, they say that this case supports up to 160 millimeter long power supply. This is 160 millimeter long power supply. It does fit. It was kind of a pain to get in there. You really have to angle it and whatever. But then you have your connection switch, module power supply. But there's literally no space here that they all have to go this way. There's no real, unless you routed it all the way through. But again, nobody wants to route the entire cable all the way through, right? So there's no space behind here. So all your cables kind of end up over here, which, and again, you can see like there's no space. So they all end up in this bunch of mess here, right?
Well, which, that's just going to choke any airflow if you have fans or radiator.
That's the biggest thing is if you're installing fans here, that's going to choke most of your airflow. So that was another issue. And again, you can see how I had to flip my drive. So it's up top here. So those were some issues. Again, not the worst issues. This happens. And again, with the power supply, they did let it like give you dimensions as far as, you know, this can only fit a 160 millimeter, power supply. And then back to the hard drive. This is on their website. So based
that doesn't even match up. Yeah.
Based on this, okay, my two SSDs go here and my hard drive should be installed vertically. But no, the hard drive gets installed horizontally on the back of this. So if I'm somebody who doesn't know where this goes, you kind of have to figure it out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Which is kind of bad. So then it comes to graphics card. And, you know, this case supports graphics cards, they say, up to 320 millimeters, which is pretty much any graphics card out there, right?
Sure.
As far as length goes. So I installed my graphics card. And when I installed it, I was like, this is like right on the edge. This is on kind of hard to see from this picture. But you can see from this picture, when I installed my PCI Express power connector, it's like hanging over the edge of where the side panel goes. And I'm like, that's just weird. You know what I mean? That's like not normal.
Yeah. It's outside the boundary of the frame of the case.
And I did forcibly put the side panel on. And as you can see, it's like bending this. It's like bending the power connector. And we all know the issues with power connectors that if you put too much pressure on them, especially if it's a 40 series card, right?
Yeah.
And you can see it here. It's just, you know, and again, the actual frame of the case was kind of bending when I pushed the side panel against it. So I was like, yeah, not turn the computer on. Like, I'm just not happening.
Play it safe.
Um, So I eventually installed a different graphics card, which was not as wide. So for reference, this is a, what card is this? This is a MSI RTX 3050 Gaming X 8G. It's 130 millimeters wide, okay? Which is normal. The funny thing is, a Founders Edition RTX 40 series card is actually a little bit thicker. It's 137 millimeters wide. So you would not really be able to fit a Founders Edition 40 series card in here at all. And again, I even said this in the review. I say, okay, if there are limitations, this is a mini ITX, micro ATX. There can be limitations. I'm okay. And again, I'm okay with limitations, right? If you tell me, you know, just like we did the Fractal Design Terra, the small, they had limitations on what graphics cards you could install there. They gave you the dimensions, thickness, width. They gave it all. Here, we just got the length, which is 320, which, again, this is a width issue. And it also has to do with, like, if you have, there are certain cards, I think some EVGA, older EVGA cards and other cards that have, like, their power connectors on the back here, so it wouldn't even be an issue, right? But, I mean, most cards have...
Yeah, that's 90% of the cards.
And so I was like, okay, let me go on their website, and here's, you know, they just give you the length, that's it, right? And then I was like, wait a minute, this is a build picture that they have on their website using a MSI Gaming X card, which I was like, okay. And interestingly enough, if I, oh, I can't zoom in on the, oh wait, maybe I can. Oh, this is bad, but like, they have a little 90 degree bracket here that allows them to not have that issue. So obviously they know about this issue. And that's where I started to get pissed off. Cause I was like, you obviously know about this issue, right? You did your build and you have a, you have a like non normal PCI Express power connector being connected there, right? And it's kind of funny, you can see their big thing of cables down here too, which was another issue that we talked about in their own build thing. So that's kind of my biggest gripe with this case, is that for me, I have another graphics card laying around, right? But say I'm somebody,
not everybody does.
I'm doing a new build. Am I going to return my graphics card, or am I, like, especially if it's a graphics card I want, say I wanted the Strix, right? Or say I wanted the Founders Edition of a, you know, 4080, 4090, whatever, whatever card. I'm sure if I'm picking a graphics card, it's the one that I actually want. These cases, you can find a bunch that look like this. Maybe this is the cheapest one, or maybe this is the one that you thought you wanted, but now you're choosing between your graphics card that, again, there might be stock issues, they're harder to find. Sure. Maybe you found it on sale. Like, you don't want to have to return it to get another graphics card. So that was my biggest issue with this, was that it was not...
Well, you know, people are, if you're in that, a builder in that position, they're probably just going to run it with the side off, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, right? They're like, well, I've put this thing together. I don't want to tear it apart. I don't want to return my graphics card. I guess I'll run it with the side off.
Yeah. And it was, right?
Which just, isn't ideal either.
Yeah, it's an ideal. You can see with the PNY card that I had, I believe this is a 4070 Ti, like no issues, right? No issues at all. And then another weird thing was, so there's a slot protector or a slot lock, you know, that's normal. You find that in a lot of cases, right?
Yeah, sure.
Once you take it off, you can't put it back on. Like, you can kind of see in this picture, but like the screw is not big enough. It's the hole is bigger than the screw. So once I unscrewed it, it would like, you can place it on there, but if you lifted the case up, it would just fall off. I was that didn't make any sense to me either. That was just another weird thing about this case. And I know I'm going on about this case. I think the biggest issue with this case is the graphics card, and it's kind of disingenuous to the buyer, the consumer, that you don't have these listed when, again, you obviously knew you had this issue, right? You did a build in it. You knew that that was a limitation. And again, if there is limitations, that's fine. We build just in many ITX cases where we do have limitations, and all cases have certain limitations. So just list the limitation. You obviously know about it. So I haven't heard back from them. I told them that, you know, here's some suggestions on how to make a future case better. So maybe that's the thing, because I like this case. Like, I mean, there are certain cooling things, and they could have made some more room to hide, like these, not hide, but like route these back cables better. But again, you have to think this is a smaller case, right? It's mini ITX, micro ATX. It's not going to, you know, and it just like room for to put fans down here, or even again, mount them under the case. That would have been just a little bit better. This light bar is pretty cool. It's on both sides of the case, and by default, it reacts to sound. So there's a little microphone, and it reacts to sound around you. You can pass it through to your motherboard software. So you know, it comes with a 3-pin. You can pass it through that way. Cool. So I thought this case had a lot of potential. It was just kind of sad that, you know, the graphics card thing. And again, if I would have done this review without that card, maybe I would never even known about it. Right?
Right. You might have, though. You'd done enough that you'd have been like, I think this is too narrow for a normal
card.
Yeah,
and the thing that I should have seen initially is they do list, again, if you can see it here, they do list the max height of your CPU cooler, which is 140 millimeters. Almost all cases should be 150, if not 160, like a nicer, bigger case would be 165 for clearance. So seeing 140, which is, again, most tower coolers are 150. Like that's kind of the standard for every tower cooler out there is 150 millimeters. So being that it wouldn't fit like a standard tower cooler, that should have given you indication of the size of that compartment as far as width goes.
Sure.
But again, it's just not, the graphics card limitations are not listed anywhere. And I feel like the instructions are just horrible. Like they're useless to a first time builder, somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. Who, you know, and again, I'm not saying that like every case we reviewed, we have great instructions, but they're legible and like they give you a better idea than what these did. So I was just not happy with this case for those reasons specifically. And I gave it a 6 out of 10, and I actually had to re-upload this graphic because we haven't used this graphic in years because the lowest score that we've given is a 7.
Sad.
Yeah, so I had to re-upload that graphic. The case is $83.99, which I don't think is a horrible price, but given the limitations, and again, if you're within those limitations, it could be a decent case. But I think there are other options that are out there. Like I said, I'm hoping they get back to me and kind of, you know, I can kind of just say like, hey, like, and again, we're in that sort of thing where like companies are going to get called out for certain things. And I think, you know, all we want to do is one, protect the customer, and two, make these products better in the future, right? So if they come up with another version of this case, it doesn't have those specific limitations. And obviously, I think if that's the case, they'll sell more. There really aren't any in-depth reviews of this case either, whether it's written or on YouTube. The one that I saw on YouTube, there's like 3, and nobody installed a system in it. So, so yeah, I mean, you know, those are the issues. You can read the review. I don't want to go into more. And again, I don't want to bash a company because I have heard of this company before, and I do feel that like they have some decent products. So yeah, that is just, again, it's more informing the customer of limitations of your product more than anything. Right. So yeah. So check out the review if you want to know more. And like I said, maybe they'll get back to us and maybe we'll get a follow-up. And they have a, you know, maybe come out with a newer case down the line that we can take a look at and kind of be like a redemption. But moving on to big cases. Last week we talked about, I think it was last week, we talked about Li & Li launching their O11 XL, which is huge. Yes. And of course, one of our favorite builders, at least one of my favorites, modders and builders, Snef Computer Design, did a build in it. So it's awesome. What is it? Turquoise? Is that what you call this?
Yeah, I love that color.
Yeah, turquoise with the chrome. That's what you should do. You should do a chrome water cooling build. That'd be cool.
Oh.
With the T-Force memory and, you know, the DIMM.2 in here as well. Very, very cool to see this. You can see it from the side there, which just looks awesome. He has the graphics card mounted vertically as well, which you can do in this case. And
it has the, like the, input or the out on the heat killer GPU card. If you go back to that image you just had, like it goes right from that distro plate into the card at the bottom there.
Oh, that's really cool.
No, not the power. The at the very bottom of the GPU block.
Down here?
You can see the white connectivity between the right there.
Yeah. So you see that. But even how he has the the cabling
loops around and in between.
There's a lot of stuff in this build that you don't notice right away that if you look at it again, you're like, oh, wow. Like, you have the cover here that covers the
slots. Yep.
The slots, and it covers the cable that's connects to this.
Yeah, because if you don't have anything there, like, you've got your GPU not blocking that. And yeah. So it kind of looks, can maybe look a little ugly just seeing those empty slots. So I like that, yeah, cover there.
That's, yeah, put the cover there. He has those, I believe these are the Lian Li fans. They're the Infinity ones. Yep. Did the cooler you have review have these ones?
It did, yes.
Yeah, those are pretty nice. But yeah, I just like the color's good. Everything matches. You can see the distro plate on the back. You have the distro plate up here with the built-in pump. Bringing everything together is just, yeah, it's cool. And it's such a big case that it is cool that you can do. And this has become a trend now, is like this vertical graphics card, like in the side mount. We're seeing a lot of people do that now. And I just like it. Yeah, it just looks awesome. And there's it all in the dark. Oof. Really cool.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. He, like I said, he has like his style, which I'm a big fan of. It's like sleek and sophisticated. It all goes together really well. Yep. And I think especially having like the white PCB on this. This is the Maximus Air, the Apex board from Asus. All goes together just so well. So yeah, go ahead and check this one out. We have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds that I always talk about. If you want to find it, you just go to articles and then Case Mod Friday. And we have a ton that you can check out. So bunch there. Yeah. Pretty cool. So we'll move on to news this week. And talking about awesome Asus graphics card, they launched two new 4090s this week. The big one, which we saw at Computex, right? Yeah, it was initially shown at Computex, and it's now available. It's $3,200.
That's all.
Which is a lot.
It's so nice looking, though.
Yeah, it is there. The RTX 4090 ROG Matrix. That is their hybrid card. It's a built-in AIO with it, but it's not like some of the AIO cards just like don't look great. Like this just looks. Yeah,
this looks nice.
Yeah.
This is a lot of good in like one of the pro art builds.
Oh, yes. Please somebody do one of those. A lot of people were saying like this is the TI, since we're not getting a 4090 TI. Like people are like, oh, this is the TI. But yeah, it's their highest clock card. It's their most expensive card. And the tech that's on here, especially within this housing, because the pump's here, the block's here, it is really... Like just the tech that's built into this is so cool. Tech Power Up does have a full review if you guys want to learn more about it. My question to you, Ryan, is like, would you get this 4090 with the 360, or like if you had $3,200, right?
Sure.
Would you buy this, or would you buy a, you know, normal 4090 for at least, say,
$2,000.
I mean, I don't know how much to, yeah, like something like a not like a plain Jane one, but like, well, you know, sure. Would you buy that and then something else? And if that's something else, like what would you buy with the extra money? Or would you get a plain, you know, get the cheapest card you can get, put a block on it yourself? Would you go that route?
Yeah, I'd probably go the custom route.
Okay.
Right? Like, because you could build a really nice like full loop in addition to having a card that maybe doesn't quite reach the performance of this, because they've tweaked this thing so much, you know, to hit,
yes,
you know, that 2.67 gigahertz. So you may not be able to make some of the tweaks that they've done to this card, but you're probably going to get pretty close, because the difference between this card and like the like standard 4090, because I read that Tech Power Up review, it beat it in just about everything, I think, but it wasn't by like a crazy amount. So yeah, you could get obviously improved performance. This thing does look amazing though. Like this is one of those that I think, like I said, it would look awesome in a pro art build with a pro art motherboard. I think this looks pretty sweet. Or
run if all you of had that like, RGB in like the gold color to match the gold of the Pro Hard logo. Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool.
But if you could get this like maybe in a workstation machine, you're like doing heavy graphics work and show this
it's
off.
It's kind
somehow.
Of interesting that they did. Wouldn't you love to see just quick disconnects here where you could put in your
own? Yes, if you could add this to a custom loop. Right. If they had threaded connections right there on the end where those tubes are coming out, that thing would be awesome.
Yeah.
They'd have to obviously modify it a bit since the pump is, you know, built into the block and everything, but they could easily do that. Build one that looks just like this.
Maybe this is like, maybe next gen we'll see something like that. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think it's always good because we know that, this card's $3,200. They're only making a certain amount of them. And like, this isn't a volume card for Asus.
No.
Right. So like, they're not making a lot of money on this per se, but it's cool to see the tech, the built-in pump on the card. Like, I remember when we saw, I don't know which, was it a 1080? I forget which one it was that I saw in person, and they had it like all like taken apart.
Oh,
and,
at CES? Yeah, we saw that. That was a, I feel like it was a 1080. Maybe it was a 2080.
I don't remember.
It had the liquid cooling all in one.
Yeah, and it was like, when they had it opened up, you could see all the tech and like all this, you know, again, Asus doesn't like have to do this per se, because again, this isn't a volume card for them, but just to see them do it and build it, it's just like the Lightning cards that you saw a while from MSI, like they didn't have to make those cards. Like there were only, I forget like the one, there were like the one version of like that card, like the Lightning card, they made like 100 or something. Like it wasn't a lot. So it's cool to see, and it's cool to see the tech. And you know, I think it'd be very cool to be like on the team that like designed this, or like, you know,
sure,
some of the other really cool products that like, again, aren't volume sellers. They're just like the highest end. And again, it is something for Asus to be like, yeah, like we have the best 4090 you can get. Right.
Yeah.
So pretty cool to see. Check out the review over at Tech Power Up. They, like I said, we always suggest graphics card reviews from them, 'cause they do a great job. But yeah, really, really cool to see that. And it's just, just awesome. So that was the first card. Second card isn't as cool as I would say. And again, if you're not really into anime, this wouldn't be like your card per se. This is the RTX 4090 EVA 02 edition. They have a matching motherboard too, which I guess I could bring up if we have... But, you know, here's what the card looks like. It's basically their Strix with this red.
Scanned differently, kind of.
Yeah, scanned. And then the back is skinned as, like, you know, a little bit different. So if you were into, what's this anime?
I don't know. It's for somebody. It's not for
me. Yeah. Yeah, it's not for me. But what's cool about this is that, do we have, let me bring it up here. They have a motherboard that matches it. So, you know how we talked about like the
Genesis Evangelion?
Yeah.
Oh my.
So they have a whole set of stuff for this. So like you could, you know how we talked about the Live Mixer motherboards from ASRock? Like this is what you want from ASRock, but Asus has done it with this. So you have like a matching motherboard, you even have a matching case, you have a matching graphics card, you have a matching AIO, everything goes together. So like you could outbuild your entire system to be themed like this. You don't need to take the pieces off the motherboard and paint them yourself, or like it's all good to go. Right. Matching keyboard and mouse and whatever this thing is.
What is it? Yeah, I was trying to figure out what the hell that is.
I don't know what that is.
Either way, this would look cool if you threw it all together in a case.
So that's the card. That's the AIO. That's the case. That case is huge, too. We saw that.
It is very, very large.
So we have the Gladius, the mouse, the keyboard. What's this? ROG Hercules.
Oh, graphics card.
Holder. So you get a graphics card holder that also, like the entire thing. Now, this is going to cost you a lot of money to build. Yeah. You know, and again, you're still not getting a CPU. Memory, SSD,
drives, power supply.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they didn't do a power supply as well.
Yeah, you would think, because they do make like the ROG Thor series,
right?
But still, I think it is really cool. Not my cup of NFT because I'm not really into this, but I think if you are, it's amazing, right? Like, if this, what's something that you're into? Like, you're into comics, right? So, like,
sure, you could have a superhero one, like a Spider-Man or
Something like that. Yeah, it would be really cool. So it's great to see. I like the at least the graphics card and motherboard, because those are the things you really want to match when you're doing a build. Case, you can kind of do yourself. It is nice that the AIO goes together as well, because yeah, it's awesome. So they have this entire thing if you want to check it out. But yeah, really cool stuff there. So those are two new graphics cards. But also talking about new graphics cards, we got some leaks on RTX 5090. That is the first time. Oh, we heard of some things, but this is like the first big leak, I would say, from a well-known leaker, not somebody who like some random person. This guy has leaked NVIDIA stuff and other stuff for like the longest time, and it's always been pretty accurate. Biggest things about the leaks, when you're comparing it to a 4090 versus a 5090, 50% increase in size, probably number of cores. Memory bandwidth sees 52% boost. We expect the L2 cache to have a 78% increase. Boost clock up to 15%, and overall performance improvement by 1.7x, which is pretty good there too. Is there anything like for this? So we've just run through 40 series. Besides price, is there anything that you would want to see on the 50 series that is necessarily, I mean, obviously we're going to see better performance, right? But yep, is there anything else that you would like to see on the like 50 series from NVIDIA?
Not necessarily. I mean, I feel like, are we going to get DLSS4, right? Probably. With this already?
But that's
it
like
just
software.
Seems so fast. I know it's software. Yeah. So like there may not be as many hurdles to cross, to get that next version. No, not necessarily. I mean, maybe a better power connector. I think they're probably going to stick with what they've got and maybe just improve the connectivity.
I don't know. And they already started doing that.
We saw that with some of the like connections that were like had certain color, weren't they like yellow on some?
Yeah, and then they fixed they updated the connector. I think we started in the 4070. They started updating the connector too.
Past that, no, not really.
I wonder how big it's going to be, because the 4090 is what, 4-slot or 3-slot? 4-slot, 3-slot.
I think it's over 3.
Yeah, it's a big. So you wonder how big it's going to be. You wonder how much power it's going to have as well, like the power draw.
Yeah, maybe some efficiency improvements.
I don't think there's anything else that I would like. Do you think they'll change like this? This is a 4090. Like, do you think they'll change the design?
I'm sure it will be tweaked a little bit, but
yeah,
I you know, they haven't had this design for too long. I think they'll be safe.
Well, I think this design is radically different because you have the pass through fan too. Because like again, the PCB is a V. Yeah. So that, yeah. So yeah, I don't think. Are you even ready for a 50 series? I mean, it's going to be a while. No, this is like the first
Oh, I know. It still feels like the 40 series just came out almost. Yeah. And I'm still just, you know, in limbo trying to decide what to do.
Yeah. Old man in the chat says if they could implement ray tracing better, it would be nice. Yeah, that's another software thing. And I think that it's great to have those technologies if you're using them. And it kind of sucks that some software tech is only available in certain series of GPUs. That's something that we've seen too, because it's just a software thing. You know, and we even saw it with NVIDIA broadcast, like that initially wasn't available on the 20 series stuff, and then it came down. Or was it 10s? I forget. But yeah, you know, so you're still in limbo. You're not sure if you're going to get a 7800 XT. You're just going to stick with what you have, maybe wait.
Yeah, I'll just hold for a little while.
I think, I mean, what's that, Black Friday? That's coming up, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that could be some deals some you could find. There, maybe. Yeah, find some options there, whether it's Amazon Newegg and what's the other one?
Micro Center.
you have Micro Center, they usually have decent deals, so you might be able to find a deal then. Definitely worth waiting, because it's not like you're really like, you don't need it per se, right?
No.
Yeah, so I'd wait till then. Moving over to CPU stuff, we saw a Core i9-14900KF show up on Geekbench. If you want to check that out, those are, of course, coming probably next month, from everything that we've heard. You know, this is the KF variant, so it just doesn't have the integrated graphics inside. Yeah, I mean, we kind of know what to expect from these, right? 5 to 6% in multi-threaded, or 5 to 6% in single-threaded, or no, 5 to 6% in multi-threaded, 12% in single core.
Yeah.
You know, that's based on this test. And again, this is like pre release drivers and everything like that. So yeah, we kind of know what to expect for these. I'm not necessarily really excited for 14 series. I mean, are you? Like, it's not a new platform.
No.
You know what I mean? So that's what I like. And we've talked about this for forever. Like, I'm always excited for new platforms, whether it's like going to DDR5, you know, when we first started getting like faster or NVMe Gen 5. Storage, yeah. Like, yeah. We will see in some of these newer boards, like actual USB 4, Thunderbolt 4 stuff. Like, I get excited for that more than the actual processor, unless the processor is like when we first saw Ryzen, like that was a big thing. And then even when we jumped from Ryzen 3000 to 5000, I think that was like a massive jump. We're not going to see that here. So I'm not necessarily excited for it. I don't know about you.
I mean, yeah, we're not going to see anything major with it, like you said.
Yeah.
So, just incremental improvements.
Yeah. Kind of know what to expect. We talked about it, the Threadripper Pro. We saw the leak of the 96 core, which is only going to be, it's a pro, so you're not going to be able to just buy the chip. You have to buy it in a system, and the system's going to be a workstation. So for us plebs who are buying consumer hardware, we're not going to be getting something like that. But these new slides were leaked, these are official AMD slides, fall 2023, 20% faster performance. So that's definitely exciting. Yeah, I mean, definitely some exciting stuff there. 96 cores is crazy. Again, it's not something that we're really going to.
It's just the sheer like horsepower of it. That's pretty awesome. It's not our lane. We're not gonna end up with them.
Yeah, but definitely it's not
impressive either.
Yeah,
way.
Definitely impressive to see. But it's just the Pro series. So moving on to cases, Fantex announced their NV5, which is a smaller version of their NV7. Of course, Ryan really, really liked this case at CES. This is just a smaller, but still large version. It's definitely not a small mid tower, but it still provides quite a lot of air cooling, water cooling support for large graphics cards. Has that it's not completely seamless, because you do have like where the two panels come together, but much more seamless side panels here, you know, side and front panel there. Has that angled design as well that you can adjust yourself if you want it flat. If you want it angled, you can go ahead and do that. You can see how the power supply sits at an angle there. You can change all of that. So yeah, I'm a fan of this. I think when we saw it, I said they're going to have to make a smaller version, right? Because the big version
is really big. I was excited until I spent more than 30 seconds looking at it. It doesn't have so many of the cool features that the NV7 had.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quite a bit of a size difference as well, but it doesn't have that cool back panel with all the cable routing. The power supply is at the bottom, which is, I mean, a common design anyways, right? Like, the power supply is going to be at the bottom in a case this size. As opposed to being behind the motherboard. So there's just some differences that once I started looking at it, I was like, I'm not as excited about this case as I initially was. But
yeah.
Anyhow, it's still
cool.
Yeah,
I think it's
a nice alternative to the O11 dynamic.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's the cooling is good on this, as far as like, you know, what you can get and the options that you do get with this. Yeah, it's a good series from Fantex. Whether you're going the big one, maybe we'll get a mini ITX or micro ATX version coming down the line too, which would be kind of nice to see how they do that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. So that's the new case this week. And then I did want to talk about this. I don't know how long ago, but Logitech did buy, was it Yeti? Just Yeti? Yeah. And Yeti was
blue.
Right. They brought, and blue was famous. And that was like the first dedicated micro, well, not the first dedicated mic, but like the first microphone that we used for popular this podcast, when this podcast started. So it seems like forever ago, was like their blue Yeti was like the ball. Mm-hmm. And it was like an,
I never had one, but
it was like an iconic microphone. I think like the original one that I had was like USB 2.0. I mean, that's how old it was. And the actual connector to the microphone was like, what is that old USB 2? It's like not the type A connector. It's like the thick one. What was that called?
You mean the square-ish one?
Yeah, kind of? Yeah.
Yes. I don't remember. Isn't it A? Or no, not no. A, but like, it's just like the host.
Yeah, it's like the big USB connector. I remember that. So it was like an iconic microphone. And then Logitech ended up buying them, I think, pretty recently, within the last couple of years. And they announced new
Type B.
Yeah. They announced new microphones. So the one, we'll go over the one that's the replacement for the, I just think this looks ugly.
It's very plasticky looking. Just, yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, and again, the Yetis were like this ball, like, you know, that's mm-hmm. kind of, but like, I just feel like they destroyed her. They destroyed it.
It looks like a Fisher-Price microphone almost.
Yeah. Like, and again, the Yetis were microphone. Like very beginner friendly. That's fine. But like, mm-hmm. they had like just the old school design of them was like, that's what made them pop. And they were good too, right? So,
sure.
Yeah, I'm not liking the new one. Now they also have this one. This is the Yeti. This is the Yeti Orb, which again goes, I wouldn't say going off that classic design, but it's the circle. Just sure. like, it's like
sphere.
The yeah. original. And then they have this one, which again just looks like any other USB mic.
I like that. I like the one-sided arm on it. It's kind of cool.
It's a little different. Yeah. I just feel like Logitech, like they had a chance. They blew it.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. It's just not great. I don't know.
Not I fair. Don't mind it as much.
Okay.
As
you. I just think they killed this. This is just.
Yeah.
And again, like the original, like little tripod that did come with it was kind of crappy, but it was just like that was like the whole like that's just what made the old one. Wonder if we can even like go to Amazon and like. See if we can find an old blue Yeti and just to like maybe I'm like so like that's what
like the newer design.
Well, this is like what the sort of original looked like, right?
Right versus that blue with the chrome border.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, better looking, I guess. I don't know. I just don't like that. That's just me. I don't know. But those were announced this week. And then we have some more Switch 2 stuff. One, so there's yeah. that, and there's a lot of stuff with this. I didn't even write an article on the Xbox leaks that came with this. There's a big FTC versus Microsoft case going on. And in any type of legal case, there's discovery. And in the discovery, there's a... Like there was a dump today of all the stuff or this week and like shows new Xbox, shows new Xbox controller, whatever. But also in the discovery were emails between Activision and Nintendo, like people at Activision and Nintendo for some reason. And you know, I guess. And in there, it says that Nintendo Switch 2 performance is on par through people at Activision. Performance is on par with PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, which, again, if you're like looking at the Switch to be a lot more powerful, yeah. that's pretty powerful, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And again, I think they are going to try to push this thing because they now they actually have like PC competition with ROG Ally and Steam Deck.
This would be cool. I think you've got that library of Nintendo games, though, that'll keep your audience on that platform, most likely, as long as you bring something out in the relatively, you know, near future.
Yeah, and then also with that, you know, it pretty much we do know that the Switch is going to be based off NVIDIA hardware, and it looks like it's going to have like a custom version of DLSS. So it makes you wonder like what the res of the screen is going to be. So Nintendo put up a job listing for like a DLSS person. So it looks like they're going to have like possibly like a custom version of DLSS that's going to work specifically with the hardware that they're using. So again, it makes you wonder like what res is that screen that they're going to try to upsample for better performance? Or maybe there's like an upsample if you're connecting it to your TV or however.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Any of that goes or works, we don't know. But yeah, a lot more Switch stuff coming out. I mean, we're like PC focused, but I've used the Switch. I know you have one. You know, it would be kind of cool to see the next gen of that come out. Cause I think, I mean, that was when it came out, was like a really big thing. And we had some stories last week too about like a custom, or they filed a patent for like a new type of magnetic controller connectivity on the sides or something like that too. So there's a lot of cool stuff that's going to be in that. So hopefully we'll, you know, as it comes closer to that launch, we'll get more information. Last thing, Starfield came out. Tons of issues with the game. A lot of people have said that. Obviously, it did not launch with DLSS, and we posted some memes on our Twitter and Facebook about like new games that come out that don't have any of the features. You would expect a AAA title when it's launched to have DLSS, but this one did not. A lot of people were saying because it was an AMD sponsored game, so it's not going to have them. But they are going to. They have said that they're going to eventually add DLSS to the game. But again, you would think that would be like kind of on the top of their list.
Yeah, maybe their agreement with AMD though was like, we know you're going to support it, just give it a month or something.
I don't think that would be in writing per se, but I think that's probably right. You guys know what to do, you know. Yeah. Type thing. So I think that was the deal there. But that is the news for the week. Yeah, man. I'm still thinking about that RG Matrix card. It'd be so... But I would never spend that much money. So like what I would do is I would buy a 4090 for like $2,000, right? And then I'd buy a new monitor. I'd buy an OLED.
Oh, yeah, to make use of it, sure.
Yeah, I'd buy a, you know, a
Samsung.
Yeah, or yeah, probably Samsung and like 49-inch OLED instead of the 49-inch, like, normal guy I have here. That's what I would do with the $3,200.
Okay.
That would be me. But yeah. Any case, what we have coming up next week. So we took a look at, not that long ago, at the Mountain, the little keyboard, the Everest 60. Now we're taking a look. I'm taking a look at their display pad and their macro pad. So the display pad is like sort of like a Stream Deck, but it's a little bit different. The cool thing about this is that it can go onto their larger keyboard if you have it. But if you don't, it comes with these stands. And these stands are like extremely heavy. So this is the display pad, and then they have the macro pad, which is just keys. So it's just M1 through 12, so you get 12 keys on this that, again, fully programmable. These are mechanical key switches, and they're hot swappable too, so you can swap them out. Obviously you can swap the keycaps out too if you want to do some cool keycaps on here or whatever, but it just gives you, like, especially if you're a streamer or you're playing like MMOs or something where you need extra keys. You know, what's great about these is that you can kind of put it away off your desk, so you have like your small 60% or 65% keyboard. And then when you go to play your game, you can pull this out and have your macros and other things, which is nice. So again, you can do the macro pad or you can do the display pad. I believe these are these OLED screens? I should probably know this. But they're really cool little screens. And again, their software allows you to, you know, put whatever you want on these. You can do different like menus. So like you can have a button here that switches all of these to something else. You can have more than 12 if you really wanted to. So I'll have that for you guys next week. Also taking a look at a headset. I'm really excited to actually test this out. The HyperX Cloud 3.
I've never owned a cloud headset. Oh,
man.
Or I have a Cloud Stinger, but never like the OG cloud.
I've had every one. And I've had ones in between. The original one was so great because it was so comfortable. So comfortable. Second one was even more comfortable. The only thing I've always felt with these, and I haven't tested it yet, the microphones just aren't... I feel like the Sennheiser gaming headsets have like the best microphones. We've had a couple other ones that were pretty good. We'll see how this one does as far as the microphone. It's definitely redesigned. Like you can see how big it is. So hopefully that would be good, because I think that's what a lot of people, the headsets have been pretty much the same. And again, it looks like they're using the same type of design, the leather, you know, it should be extremely comfortable. So I'm excited to test it out and see what it's all about. It's 53 millimeter drivers, so a really good bass on there. It says crystal clear 10 millimeter microphone, noise canceling with LED mic mute indicator. So yeah, we'll have that for you. And then Ryan is taking a look at an AIO. We really can't tell you much about it till tomorrow. So it's going to drop. The review is going to drop tomorrow. But Ryan really did like it because I already read the review. Because Ryan, it's already ready to go to be posted on the site tomorrow. So really excited. You know, we'll talk about that next week on the podcast. But check the site tomorrow. It will be up there in the chat. I didn't even see this. Corey is in the chat. Good to see you, Corey. And old man in the chat says the HyperX Cloud Flight is my favorite wireless headphones. Yeah, like I think once you find a pair that's like comfortable and gives you like all the features that you want, like these are the Steel Series. I forget what these are, but these give me like all the features that I want. This is a Virtuoso
SE, and they just came out with a new version of them.
Yeah, it's I did see that.
A cloth pad here, which. And they're open back. Those look pretty nice. Like, because these do get a little warm. And, like, I don't mind the, like, fake leather material. It's pretty comfortable, but I do prefer cloth. So I saw those the other day and thought that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, once you find one, again, when I had the original Cloud, like, I used them so much that, like, the leather was, like falling apart and stuff. Because I used it, like, all the time. They were, like, my favorite headset. And I think And only replaced them because we got the second version to review. Version 2
came out. That's funny.
Yeah, and I used those to because there's metal on the sides. Like the metal was all scratched up from me just like throwing the headset around and stuff. Like I use those things to death. So once you find a good one, and there's some. I think again the bar is so much higher now for audio products too, that like pretty much every top end headset or like the flagship from a company is typically always good. You don't often find a bad headset. Sometimes you do see mic issues where you'd rather use something like this or like the mic that Ryan has in front of him, like something like that. But beyond that, they all really sound good. They have the directional audio. If that's what the headset features, like really, really well. And you are seeing now, at least with this headset, I don't know about that headset, but I know it came with the microphone you have, but like having software that links up with the headset as well. Like there's so much stuff. So like I said, I will have that review of the Cloud 3 next week. So yeah, a lot of stuff going on. We did talk about tech stuff at the end here before we jump over to Twitch. I did order my iPhone, so I'm excited to get that.
Yep.
I ordered it on Friday. It should come on Friday, so in 2 days. So I'm excited for that new phone. Two generations. So I have the 12 Pro, so this will be the 15 Pro. I got the 1 terabyte, so lots of space.
That's crazy. But you got a really good deal on trading your other one in, right?
Yeah, so I didn't even do it through the Apple website. Really nice. I did it through
T-Mobile, right?
No, I did it through AT&T. And yeah, you get $800 off.
Amazing.
Yeah, like no, it's sent back in like credits or whatever, so it's not like you're, you know, but yeah, it was like a no brainer, really. Like they're giving me that much for my like, I mean, I was still living in Pittsburgh when I bought that phone, so
yeah,
you know, Yeah, so that, and I think that's like, what do you remember the time where we went to, like, do you remember when you we had a totally subsidized phone, like you would go in?
Oh yeah, it was awesome. Free.
And that it was even the early iPhones, you still could get them subsidized. And then they went to like that model where like, no, the phone's going to cost you like $1,000 or whatever, yes. Right? Yeah. And we were there for a while. And even the trade-in deals like weren't good. They're like, yeah, we'll give you like $100 or like something, which isn't a lot. Yeah,
I feel like it's gotten better.
Yeah, I think these deals, and I think T-Mobile was giving up to $1,000, mm-hmm. for older phones, which is really good too.
Yeah. So I got this today, the Anker 525 charging station.
Ooh,
I saw this. So it's power delivery on the front, intelligent charging, and then on the back you got three.
Oh, that's awesome
as well. So like, yeah. Nice flat plug, really like chunky cord that's flexible. They're usually like $65, I think, and it was on sale like 30% off. So I picked one up. It was something I had on my wish list, and then it like came on sale like a couple weeks later.
This. So I just picked it up. I didn't really. This is like a little. It's kind of hard to see. Wait, let me put it in front of my face so you can see it. So this is well, it's a little charger. So it's a little 65 watt. So you can 65 watts
out charger.
Of, yeah. So the cool thing is if you take this off,
that's cool.
And then when you turn, like when you plug it in, there's like a little screen that pops up, but it has. Just two type C's and one type A, but 65 watts, which is a lot. So you can fully charge like a laptop with this. No problem. Yeah. And it's like, it's that big.
That tiny.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I get, but yeah, this, is that one you got? Is that like a GAN charger? Is it like a fast charger?
I don't think so. I really didn't look into it too much.
Are you going to put that on your desk?
There's no way this is 875 watts.
No.
Or 18. Yeah. No. I don't know. This must be like a, it's weird because it's like electrical rating, blah, 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 15 amps, 1875 W. Like there's no way this is an 1800. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to put it. I actually thought about taking it to work and put it on my work desk.
Yeah. Having the thing there for having it
up top is really nice. Right. For my phone. And then like, I am plugging stuff in at my up top on my desk and like having to go underneath or get into like desk furniture.
And Anker has always been good with a lot of their products. I'm a fan of a lot of their products. So. In the chat, we have Turbro in the chat.
Turbro.
Any recommendations for a good computer speakers with sub?
Man, I haven't looked at
speakers in a long time. That sound bar I had was really good and that came with the sub. That was the
Creative Katana.
The Katana was the Razer. Is that the Razer? But the Creative one that I have, that's a sound bar, but you really can't tell it's a sound bar. And it does have a sub. I actually use it in my living room and I have it for my TV. That's how good it is.
It used to be like Klipsch had some good desktop, 2.1 setups, Logitech. I just haven't bought. I'm so much of a like headphone user, and the thing is, like, I bought a decent. I say decent. They've turned out to be great, and I've had them for 15 years. Shoot, probably 20 years now. I bought them with when I built my first computer. This Creative 4.1 set that for my needs, it's lasted me that long. Creative was always
good. Every once in a while I'll review some. Like the ones that I have here, they're not. There's no sub. I didn't even look because I haven't touched
the Razer ones.
Yeah, I have a set of Razer ones that are good. There's no sub, but they're loud, and they definitely do a good job. I think when it comes to speakers, unless you're like a crazy audiophile, I think, and again, you're not going to buy like some $20 set off Amazon and be like, these are amazing, right? But like any of the kind of known brands, Logitech, Creative, Razer, who else makes some good stuff? Like any of those will do fine. I think if you're buying something that's current, I think you should be fine when it comes to PC speakers. It's kind of hard to mess them up. I haven't reviewed many audio products that are like incredibly bad.
Get something with a dedicated subwoofer with it.
Yeah, and like I said, just don't buy some unknown name, and even if you are looking up an sort of like a non-known brand, try to see if there's reviews on YouTube or something to get a better idea. But that's kind of what we would suggest. But like I said, the Old Faithful always has been Logitech. I think everybody I knew for like the longest time had Logitech speakers. I assume they're still good.
There was a really nice set of like 5.1s that they, maybe it wasn't the Logitech, maybe it was a Creative. I don't know. There was one that was like a super popular set for a while. But yeah, Logitech speakers are good as well.
Yeah. So, but any other tech related things?
I don't think so. No. I was more excited than I should be to get this little charging station though.
It is fun to get tech that you don't like. We review tech, so we're like, you know, it's not, but like when you're spending your own money and you're like,
yeah,
you know, kind of doing that. I brought up Amazon just to look at some of like, I just put in 2.1 speakers.
So that Klipsch set right there. Oh.
This one right here.
The 2.1 THX, like those are pretty good. If it's the same that I've utilized, they look almost identical. Yeah, the ProMedia 2.1s, those are pretty decent.
So here's like the CyberAcoustics isn't bad as well. Here's like the Logitech that everybody has. Like this is the newer version, the Z233. You have the sub and the two speakers there. There's a bunch of
ProMedia again set for 90. See. There was a blue. Go up just. That's all right.
These ones?
Oh, never mind. Yeah, the ProSonus.
Yeah, and this has like, 24,000 reviews. Those could be. I mean, again, just read reviews, I think. I haven't looked at speakers in so long because, again,
if you want to spend more, those Edifers are nice that were.
Yeah, Edifers are nice. Yeah, I think I've heard good things about these for desktop speakers. They don't come with a sub, though. This Sanyon, I've heard good things about those. Steel Series RGB lighting, $300. That's good rating though, but again, Amazon ratings can be faked. It's so weird to look at speakers. It just seems, I don't know, I haven't looked at speakers in so long.
Some of these with the lights in them and stuff remind me of some of those booths you see at CES for like all the karaoke machine.
Yeah, so here's one that like I wouldn't necessarily suggest. This is $35.99.
And it connects with USB, it looks like.
Yes.
Do not buy that.
Yeah. But like when it comes to any of these, just look up, you know, reviews and stuff like that. You know. But yeah, that is gonna be it for us, guys. We thank everybody for coming out and all the questions and everybody who stopped by in the live chat. And of course, everybody that listens later, we will have our gaming stream up, going to play some Apex. I still haven't used my shards
in the game. Well, saving them up.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna do with them. Watch like they disappear, they expire.
Oh god. It's like trying to decide what tattoo to get for your first tattoo. You're like, this is true. If I spend them, they're gone. And yeah,
so we'll be over there, twitch.tv/syncomputer. So this stream will end, and then Ryan will have that stream up, and he hosts that stream. So definitely get over there, yell at him in the game, tell him, you know, he's horrible. And I'll be playing too, so I'm pretty horrible, so you can yell at me as well. But we'll see everybody over there. And of course, we'll be back the same time next week.